The Ray Horner Morning Show, on demand on akronnewsnow.com and streaming on wakr.net.
Appreciate our next guest taking time out of his schedule to join us most Mondays in the 7 o'clock hour. And that's my good friend, Dr. Gary Riggs, our veterinarian, 330-370-1590. 330-370-1590 is the number to call. Okay. Food for thought.
All right.
Do we leave the bowl out in the kitchen or the living room or wherever we feed our dogs, or do we feed them periodically by filling up the bowl?
Well, that's going to...
Or doesn't it matter?
Well, it can matter, but it's going to depend a lot on how they were raised, the number of animals you have, if it's going to be a point of dominance at the food bowl, et cetera. So there's a lot of things.
I've had that in my family.
Yeah.
We had the American Eskimo and Black Lab going way back. The Eskimo would not let the Black Lab eat.
Right. Right. So there's a lot of things to consider there, but certainly... people that raise the dogs, especially I see it more, I guess, in large breed dogs, that when they're raised that the food or the kibble is out for them, that they can kind of graze when they're a little hungry. Maybe once or twice a day they're adding something else into there, some of the canned food, etc. But that is a good way, and I think it does really help kind of on weight management on these breeds, because they don't feel like when that food bowl hits the floor, it's a race to get it down. So it is a good feeding plan, but it's not something you can just change midstream without a little bit of work. And so if you're going to think about doing that when they're a puppy, that's the time to get started.
I noticed with our two little guys, as you know, the Pomeranian and the Yorkie mix, that we constantly just fill up the bowl and just leave it out.
Right.
But we only fill the thing like once a day. Yeah. It's not like they're constantly eating.
No. And I think if they do get used to the fact that the food's there, so they don't have to rush in and gulp it all down, and because it's not going to be there again, then you will find that they're going to be able to just pick and choose, and we're not going to have as much weight problems in general. Now, if there's some problems, some health issues or such that we have to monitor specific diets and such, that may not always work. But I think it is something that people should consider, on especially on getting a new puppy and getting them kind of used to that, so they don't really binge feed, which is what we often train our dogs to do.
Okay, speaking of food, let's get into trips to the store to get the food again. There's so many choices.
Yeah.
There's so many price ranges now.
Right.
What are some of the things we look on the bag to make sure it's in there for us?
Well, if there's certain health issues, certain diet issues, etc., you can tailor the diets accordingly. But just the fact that a diet's high priced doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the best one out there. So you do want to take a look at the ingredients and compare from some of the different brands. In general, we like to see the meat being the high end, the main ingredients. We like a little less of the grains in there, a little less of corn, etc., for most dogs, because they're really geared to digest the meat and meat products a little better. So that's something you can kind of look at, certainly if there's different taste, etc., that your dog likes. A big change is from what used to be. You used to have fairly few number of ingredients in dog food, so you didn't have as much worry about sensitivities if your dog ate the particular flavoring. But now, if you look at the label, all sorts of things are mixed in there, trying to cover all the bases. And sometimes that works against us, that they build up some sensitivities to some of the lesser items in the food, and that can actually cause some of the GI problems. So if you can, I would say also pick a diet that doesn't have everything into it, that is a little bit more ingredient specific, with the meat being the major component. And I think that's, if you use those kind of simple guidelines and start doing some comparison shopping, you can pick up something without having to go extremely high end, although some of the high end foods are good. But if you've got a number of dogs, that's difficult to do sometimes.
Also, when you go down the food aisle, there's dogs for this breed, that breed.
Right.
There's also dogs that are overweight, little dogs, small dogs. I guess what I'm saying is, if I have a dog that's 7 to 9 years old, do I change the eating patterns or change the dog food select?
I think if your pet has some issues or has some problems that mandate you change, but it's certainly something that I think it benefits the promotion of the food more than it does the dog's diet. And there's not this specific time period in your dog's life where they have to be on a different diet. You know, you think back a decade or so ago or more, we didn't have that, and dogs seem to survive that transition phase. So I don't think you have
You're so kind.
I don't think you have to be really worried about making these changes just because the food bag tells you you have to make them. You know, look at it from a health standpoint, and oftentimes making a change can be difficult on your pet. And so we encourage people not to make that change, and that to stay with the food that's been good for them, and they'll do just fine.
What about the canned food? Is that just a choice type of thing, or is there more or less in the canned food?
Again, it varies, of course, on the different types, but really what you're often seeing is just more water content in there, so you're kind of paying for the water content. And some dogs that really like that, the softer foods. Another option you can do is just add some warm water to the dry food for about 5 minutes or so before you feed it, and see if that will work too. So there, you do have some options, and you don't have to be jumping through hoops and getting five different types of food. And oftentimes, if you try that, especially early on, that makes the pet a little bit more on the picky side, and you're going to play that game, that roulette, continuously then through the dog's life, trying to find different foods that they'll eat. To the converse of that, on cats, very often when they're growing up, I don't mind them having a few different food, so they don't get locked on. Cats can tend to get locked on to a variety a lot more, and it's kind of nice to get the cat to know that they can eat something different in case their favorite brands stop being made. So talk to your veterinarian about it when you're in for the puppy and kitten exams, and kind of map out a strategy, but don't fret continuously over the diet. It doesn't have to be rocket science, and I think you can get onto some good diets out there within the price range that you need.
The Ray Horner Morning Show. On air weekdays 6 to 10 on 1590 WAKR. Streaming live on WAKR.net and AkronNewsNow.com. And on demand at AkronNewsNow.com.